Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, we're brought to you by the Ape Life Board of Film Classification. We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan. Hi, it's you, and it's us, and we're going to present you with a podcast. Hello.
Wow, we're back. Hello.
Welcome we're back. It's another Flash in the Pan, your premier source of podcasting entertainment about the animations of online yesteryear. We're going to talk about some cartoons.
Yes, we do talk about cartoons.
A lot, yeah. We've been doing it for a while now.
Wow.
More on that later.
There are so many episodes. This podcast is dummy thick.
I know I am.
True.
It's true.
It's true. I've seen him.
The photos are in circulation. we can do a fun podcast for you. We're going to watch some cartoons. You're going to watch them with us, maybe. I don't know. There are going to be links on our website, flashinthepancast.com. So you should watch along with us. It'll be fun. And then we're going to talk about them. And maybe we'll talk about the people that made them. Neat. Yeah. Of course, if you enjoy yourself, then you can also throw us a little money to support us on Patreon, Flash in the Pan on Patreon. We will talk about that more later on the episode. But I think it's time to kick off with something action-packed and exciting.
Yes. Tell me, Tom, what are we looking at?
We're looking at a little cartoon called Kong. Very moody. Very moody, very filmic.
Yeah.
And with an ending shot that made me giggle.
That ending was pretty special.
It really was, yeah. This is an early example, I think. Because this is from 2001. This is an early example of someone really pushing for that noir cinema look, like the neo-noir kind of Tarantino-y, a little bit kind of Max Payne even.
Yeah, a little bit. I was going to say Sin City, but like this is before the movie
of Sin City, yes.
Did anyone that saw Sin City or the made Sin City see this? What do we think? Possibly?
If Frank Miller has ever seen anything on Newgrounds,
it's this.
It's this and Kramer's Hentai Quest. But probably more things.
I really just wanted to let Kramer's Hentai Quest just like slide right by us, but I've acknowledged it now, so
you want to Kramer slide right by us?
Yeah.
Okay. Someday we'll cover you, Hentai Quest.
Will we? Is that so?
I made a promise to someone I respect very deeply.
Wait, seriously? Oh no.
Anyway, Kong. Alex.
Yeah.
What's the plot of Kong?
There are some men.
Yep.
And that's it. There are some guys. And they want to kill the police commissioner who...
Charlie Kong.
Is also a monkey.
Yep, he is some kind of ape cop, or maybe he just looks like an ape. It is hard to tell.
For some reason, it's not clear or explained, it's just like, the guy looks like a monkey, and he needs to die.
This is how I feel when I watch any like David Attenborough documentary.
Yeah, you know, some balaclava dudes show up to the police headquarters.
I guess it's some kind of police station.
They where the kill commissioner is. A bunch of people, and they hack the PC, and they're like, "Oh shit! Now we know where he is."
Mm-hmm.
And they gun their way up to the top, and some of the balaclava dudes get killed, and it looks like the police chief is gonna win. But then a guy with like two AR-15s shows up.
Yeah, they're assault rifles 15.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, now he's got him. But then the Kong, Commissioner Kong, throws two knives.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
He pumps up the screen and it's a freeze frame. And it's very good, and that's probably going to be the thumbnail for the podcast episode.
No spoilers, but yes.
Absolutely, 100%.
So one thing you haven't mentioned is that the opponents of these copy-pasted balaclava men are just Matrix agents.
I was about to say, yeah, they're Matrix agents.
Yeah, they're like G-Men, you know, with the sunglasses, and they have the pistol, and yeah. Like at least two of them actually do like the Agent Smith, like pointing the gun like out arm outstretched at Neo pose.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Again, you as with a lot of very ambitious projects from the earlier days of Flash, you can really see the creator working right up to the edges of the possibilities that the program allows him. Because you can see all of the different assets being used. You can see the different tools being used. Like even in the opening shot, which is a nice slow sort of pan across the wheels of the of the criminal's vehicle, you know, where we get the title sequence.
Yeah, that's cool.
But also, you can see this is the scribble tool that was used to do the dust flying up from the tires, right?
Yeah,
you know, here's where you can see the loop of the rotation of the tires, that kind of, yeah. Mm. Not that that takes away from the effect of it. Honestly, like, I think, like, the artifice being so obvious kind of adds to the mood of it, if you like.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, and also, like, it does the same thing that the Madness cartoons do, right? Where it's like black and white, but the blood is bright red. Ooh. And then in the final scene, once the lights have gone off, Commissioner Kong hits the emergency button and everything is bathed in red. And there aren't any whites anymore. It's just shades of red
just
and black.
Red. Yeah.
And that just looks cool.
It does. The whole thing looks really cool.
It is. It is very stylish. Very, very stylish. And like we even get like some fun camera choices, like when the balaclava men are like walking down the corridor, we get like some split screen with like the sign for the armory and the balaclava guy, and then it's just cool. It's
yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite moment? Because I have a couple of favorite moments. Apart from the final thumbs up, which is beautiful.
Shit. Fuck. God damn. Fuck. How could you do this to me, Tom?
Well, no, like we just take that as red, you know.
Oh, okay. I really like, you know what is another kind of like really cool looking shot is when like the lights go out in the commissioner's office and it's just like the desk lamp.
Mm.
And you can see the silhouettes of the people like stood in the foreground with like the commissioner in the background. That's just like really visually pleasing to me.
Yes.
Like that's the mark of someone that like actually knows a bit of cinematography maybe.
Oh yeah, well, this definitely wears its influences on its sleeve, yeah. Right?
It makes sense, right? Because like, Matrix was 99, and like this is like just a couple of years afterwards. That's really cool. When he presses the emergency button and everything's red and black and red, and that's really, really looks fucking awesome.
Yes.
That's really cool. It's just, the whole thing just looks really stylish. I think my only thing is that, like, and this is because it's so early on in, like, the development of like, people learning how to do flash animation and people learning what the limitations are and how to push it. It's not, the animation is just a little bit like wonky is the only way I can like describe it. Like, it doesn't look bad. It, you can just, like Tom said, you can see the assets being used and like, in, and I kind of feel like, yeah, I agree, like in a positive and a negative way as well. Like, you can see the assets being used. It's all there. But like, I kind of, I forgive it because, like, again, this is like in 2001, right? This is early. And the fact that like this even exists and looks as good as it does is like honestly a miracle.
Some really nice visual ideas as well. Like, right near the beginning, before the criminals break in, we get an interior shot of the lobby of the building, and it's got these like this like weird, slightly warped looking doorway.
Yeah.
And we've got these twisted like lamps.
Oh, I forgot about the, oh wait, you're right, that doorway does look really cool.
Yeah.
That is good. Oh. Yeah.
But also we get our first shot of red within the actual thing, which is the red emergency button on the desk of the security guy.
Oh.
Kind of prefacing that, okay, this color means crisis. Right? That's cool. But of course, the security guy doesn't get to press his button because, and this is my favorite part of the whole thing, and I do it twice because it's so good, the criminals burst through the door in this slow motion shower of polygons.
Did you notice? Did you see? Sorry. Go on.
And it looks really, really good, and it holds on that explosion just enough for you to wonder, okay, how are they coming in? And then the bullet hits him, and we're back to regular speed. It's like, oh yeah, okay, that's cool.
All right.
Are you going to ask me if I noticed what the security guy is reading?
Yes! I was like, hey, you know when you ask me what my favorite part was? Well, if you go to 0127...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a good 5 seconds we get of the guard's reading material, which appears to be... go ahead, Alex.
Booby Big Titty.
Booby Big Titty magazine G-string.
Magazine.
Maybe thong.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Would you like to describe the anatomy on show here?
The fucking,
because
I
say
it's a place where Samus Aran's shoulders are. It fucking looks like that as well. It looks like Metroid armor.
She's got armpit nipples.
She fucking has. I'm sorry. I'm kind of an expert on this, but like that's not armpits, like boobs.
Okay.
That's not where they go.
Okay, one sec. I'm adding that to your
thank
bio
you.
On the website.
It's on my CV.
Yep.
Yeah. It actually got me my job, my current job. Like they saw and went, "Whoa, shit! Well, we got a letter in now."
Yeah. We need the boob expertise.
Yeah. Fuck, I looked at it again. I gotta get that off the screen, okay?
It's great. but yeah, this is the fun cartoon. I like it a lot. The music, I think, is fine. It's pretty unobtrusive. I think I'm slightly surprised that they didn't go with like a more bombastic kind of tune. Because it could Because it starts off as like this thumping techno, right? But it kind of fades into the background a bit because it doesn't evolve much over the course of the cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, not that it's bad or anything.
It's not bad, but like, I definitely agree. It needed to go way harder. They needed a drum and bass track that just like absolutely goes nuts with it, I think.
Yeah.
Although and that would have really pushed it over the edge.
It might be that we're saying that because once we have a tiny soupçon of Matrix in the mix, then immediately the brain plays Spy Break by Propellerheads.
Well, yeah, but like, come on, like this is quite clearly pulling from that like influence pool. So fucking, you know, may as well stick your whole hand in. Like, come on.
Yeah, spoken like a true boob expert. I want to talk about one more thing, which surprised me.
All right.
So I remember seeing this way back when it came out. I don't remember this making much of an impression at the time, but looking back, like, the final attack, we get the commissioner's glowing red eyes as he's held up in after the Mexican standoff goes bad.
Yeah.
And then he reaches behind him as the camera does a full 90-degree swivel around him, right? And then he grabs the knives and he throws them into the faces of his attackers. But, like, what a flourish to have at the end of your cartoon, right?
Yeah. That must have fucking taken forever.
That must have taken some work, yeah. Like, and I don't know if that was, like, an extra plugin being used, because it's the whole room shifting.
Yeah, it's either like there's either some trickery going on, or they've used like some third party plugin, or the secret third option is that they fucking animated that frame by fucking frame, rotating the room and the character.
I think it was probably an easier way, because there were easier ways, right? I mean, if we remember Joe Zombie, right? Joe Zombie was using some basic Shockwave 3D stuff, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm just looking at it again. It does, like maybe could be 3D. Yeah, maybe. It looks like that could be a 3D model. Just really briefly.
Yeah. Either way, it looks very cool.
It does.
And then we get the almost bathos of the thumbs up at the end. after all this like cool moody violence, we just get.
I hope you like my film.
Thanks for watching. Bye. I'm a monkey. but yeah, no, this is really fun, and I'm glad that it is still getting views. I'm glad that people still seem to appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think that we should learn a bit more about this monkey business.
It's time for a flash! Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but there's basically nothing. It's nothing uploaded by an author called Raz. Or Razzo, in the actual cartoon itself. It was uploaded at September 21st, 2001. It won Weekly User's Choice, Review Crew Pick, and Daily Feature. At the time that we are recording this, it's got 1,010,708 views. And that's pretty much all I can tell you. Like, trying to search for, like, Raz Animator or even Razzo Animator gives you absolutely fucking nothing. There is a Twitter and a YouTube that is under the handle of Razzo, but I don't think it's the same person because, like, looking at the YouTube, there's like a video on there that's like my first attempt at animation, and it was like 6 years ago, and I'm like, okay, so that's not this guy then. Yeah, I'm afraid I don't really have anything past like this guy did six animations ever. On Newgrounds.
At least on Newgrounds, yeah.
Five of them were in 2000, and then Kong was 2001. And then the guy just fucking vanishes. Isn't really much information about him on the Newgrounds page either. It's just his little blurb thing says, "I am more or less exactly the same as you," which I highly doubt. Male joined March 22nd, 2000. That's it.
Yeah. So from context clues, Raz appears to be British.
Right.
Partially because his first cartoon was called British Telecom.
Oh.
And it was about BT.
Okay.
It appears to be about Father Jack from Father Ted calling BT.
Yeah, how did I fucking miss that? Wow.
But also because one of his only two Newgrounds forum posts that I can see is a piece of pixel art, which is pretty cool, and the caption, "Hands up if you like wanking."
I'm sorry, my hand just shot up for no reason.
So we just have a mystery man.
Just a mystery dude. He made this really good animation a really long time ago, and then fucking just disappeared. So yeah, that's Raz. I really tried to look. I tried Raz. I tried like Razo, like Raz Animator, Razo Animator.
Hang on there a second, Flashketeers. This is Editing Booth Tom here, coming with some extra information. I realized there was a loose end that we hadn't tugged at, so I went yanking in the Wayback Machine, and the ApeLife.com website is archived in various forms between 2000 and 2002, where it appears to have gone dark and been bought by a domain squatter. However, there are some interesting nuggets of information. We learn that Raz, or Razo, was the nom de plume of Raman Raleigh, who was a friend and collaborator of Paul Rose, a.k.a. Mr. Biffo from Digitizer, whose saga is a story for another day. But Raleigh does appear to have continued his animation work and his animation career well into the 2000s. There is a single IMDb credit for being an animator on the pilot Biffovision in 2007. And it's very possible that Raleigh has continued his work in and around animation, or maybe he hasn't. I don't know. But Ape Life was a thing. Razo was a person who made things and had various interesting social connections in the British nerd comedy scene of the early aughts. So there you go. Just a little bit of extra knowledge for you.
Yeah, that's it. Let's go over some comments now, because that's what we're going to do.
Let's read some comments.
Tom, why don't you take the first one?
Why don't I indeed? Oh, this is the chunky one.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is The Lone Marmot, who is one of the million people to watch this back in September of 2001.
Yeah.
Said, "Here we go. Now, if anyone has ever seen any of my reviews, they will know that I like to vote shit, which I do. It keeps the shit down, and it makes my votes worth something. Now, I am being forced to vote shit again. Although I have given it several tens, my overall vote has to be nil. Why, I hear you think? Well, the lack of any talking. The lack of a plot. I mean, the animation was good, but it lacked soul. I hated it. Oh well. If you kick ass next time and do more of the Matrix-style spinning shite, where he draws the sword knife things, I might give you a 10. Fuck this, I'm off."
Wow. It's like my grandma was back in the room with us. Yeah.
You know, I felt a presence.
Yeah.
I felt a presence just well up inside me as I was reading that.
Yeah. The Lone Marmot.
Didn't like it.
Didn't like it. Shrug, I guess. I don't really understand what the problem was.
So there is a reference here to voting 10 in other things, because it used to be that back in the day, Newgrounds reviews had different categories you could rate, such as humor and violence and that kind of thing.
Graphics. That one always fucking got me. It's fucking art style.
So the Lone Marmot is saying, I loved everything except that I gave it 0 in the end because there was no talking or plot.
Ugh. He must have really hated Wally. Well, the first half of Wally.
Yeah, which is objectively
the better half.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Voice of December from
Voice of December.
September 11th, 2018.
Wow.
Said, fished out the password for my long forgotten account just to watch this again. Glad I have it saved as a favorite.
Nice.
Which, yeah, that fucking rules. I think one of the singularly most satisfying things is, one, remembering a password that you probably set up like 15 fucking years ago, and then two, finding the thing you're actually looking for in the thing you signed into for. That's good shit. That's good shit. If you want just take that last one, Tom. Just take that last one.
Cataclysm, with a K and two T's, in December of 2001, December 11th, said, that rocks! Smooth animation, wonderful style, excellent soundtrack, pretty cool plot. Overall, it just rocks, dude. Obviously, you put a lot of effort into it. Keep up the good work! 0 stars. There it is. Take a shot.
Take a shot. This is the safest drinking game ever because you only have to play it once every 2 weeks. Drink responsibly.
Please drink responsibly and review responsibly. Not that the 0 stars seems to have put much of a dent in the overall reception.
No.
Of this, right? This was a huge hit when it launched.
Yeah.
Like, Daily Future, Review Crew Pick, Weekly Choice, like, almost a perfect score out of 5.
Almost.
It's included in the Portal History 2001 collection on Newgrounds.
Notable.
This is notable, right? It looks and feels very fun and cool.
Yeah.
And moody. And also it feels more grown up.
It does, yeah. Right? Like, it doesn't...
Or at least it has pretenses of being more grown up.
Yeah, I think, like, it probably would be one of the more adult things to be uploaded to Newgrounds in, like, 2001 if it didn't have the fucking thumbs up at the end. Like, that's the only thing where it's like, okay, yeah, this was made by someone that was, like, 16 is the fucking thumbs up.
Around 2001, you know who I can see making this? Edgar Wright?
You know what? I picked up on that too, because the whole, like, foreshadowing thing with the button
and with the armory
at the beginning.
As well.
Yeah, like, that's something Edgar Wright fucking loves to do.
Yeah.
He loves to tell you exactly what's going to happen before it happens, and you don't realize until it's happening.
Yeah, he's very good at that. And also, 2001, I think he'd just have wrapped on Series 2 of Spaced.
So he's got plenty of time on his
hands. He's got a bit of free time.
Just before he goes into fucking full production of Shaun of the Dead, yeah.
I don't know. I can at least see, like the Edgar Wright crew, you know, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, etc., like gathering round someone's early edition Sony Vaio to watch this.
The only reason I don't think Edgar Wright would have made this, two reasons actually.
The music isn't good enough.
The music, okay, three reasons. The music's not good enough. There are no whip pans. And there's no smash cuts either. So, it's just not him, because those are his fucking thing. He does that every fucking thing he does.
Yeah, he's very good at it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in that case, Raz will remain anonymous. Hey, Raz, if somehow you find and listen to this, send us an email, flashinthepencast@gmail.com. Just say hi. How you doing?
How you doing?
I mean, like, it has been 22 years almost. Yeah. It's been at least 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long time.
Yeah.
So, they might not even be still alive, or they might be alive and well and with like a family of six.
That's how I choose to think about the people that we can't find.
They might be an MP. He might own a car dealership.
I hope they're not a politician.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, this is just a tiny, tiny snapshot of one pretty ambitious person's creative outlet. Totally. So who knows?
Yeah. Not me. I tried.
I think that's going to contrast nicely with our second and third cartoons, which we're going to watch back to back, because...
Oh, yeah.
As maybe two of our fans have asked us to... we are continuing the saga of Eric the Juice Man.
Yes. Hell yes.
It's been a while since we checked in with the gang, but I think it's time for us to watch episodes 5 and 6. This is a lot. Let's strap in. Also, a content warning, these episodes contain a lot of flashing lights and colors.
Get this straight right now. Emily is not my girlfriend, never has been, and never will be. The only reason I'm here is for revenge. Your buddy Big Mule slapped me around earlier, and I didn't get the chance to repay the favor. This has nothing to do with What's-Her-Face.
Good?
Here we go.
I am Satan, the most terrible, fearsome super bitch in the history of all existence. I eat 7 raw eggs a day, and I definitely don't need some stupid girl getting in the way of everything.
Getting in the way of everything?
Mike! Some chick just kicked my ass! Yeah, we were in the middle of making out, and then she sucked me in the face and... Oh, you're still here, huh? Hey, baby!
Well, that was... That... I mean, I have to see more.
Fucking cliffhanger, Tom.
Oh.
They get us every time!
Eric the Juice Man is really, really something.
Yeah.
The second episode is dedicated to wheat thins and pepperoni.
I saw that. There's literally nothing else like this. Well, okay, that's not true. Like, Dragon Ball Z is quite close. In terms of, like, fighting.
It's Dragon Ball Z. Like, I haven't seen Yu Yu Hakusho, but like maybe it's got some of that in there as well.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I also have not seen Yu Yu Hakusho, but everything around that, there is nothing else like this.
It's okay. So, for those of you who are not familiar with Eric the Juice Man, please, 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 I implore you, go back and listen to our episodes 31 and 56, where we covered the first two and then 3 and 4, respectively. Yeah. we start with... after the big initial Satan versus Mike fight...
Yeah.
And Emily has escaped from Big Mules' terrible apartment in a castle.
Yeah.
Comes down to stop the violence. Mike is just really cool with her.
Mm.
But Satan is just like a really rude jerk to her.
Yeah.
Like, calls her what's her name and that kind of thing. Like... Dude, come on.
Very not cool. No. Incredibly not cool.
No. So there's so much happening. Yeah. So Satan is just angry at the idea that Emily is his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Satan just kind of lusts for more violence.
Yeah.
It seems, but eventually, Mike just goes fucking Kaioken and blasts Satan out of a window in complete silence. Which is great. There's just the glass breaking sound effect and he thumps on the ground.
Oh, it's so good. Like, there's this big, like, really bombastic, like, there's music and there's this sound effect and Satan like screaming.
Yeah.
And then just cuts to the outside shot. It's so good.
It's great. At one point, Emily punches Big Mules in the groin.
That's
and
good.
And Big Mules has an existential crisis about this groin pain.
Yeah.
Like, he begs God to explain it to him.
If you're the owner of the correct equipment, right?
Yeah.
If you've ever been kicked there, mm-hmm. or even just like sat down wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking god, like I feel like where he's coming from.
Yeah, you know? The choice quote being, "My whole life has just taken a humiliating blow in the groin."
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it feels. Because you can't do anything. All you can do is like lean forward and just be like, "Oh fuck, it hurts so bad."
Yeah, but
why?
But Big Mules is then just fine to let Emily crash with them. I guess he did kidnap her in the first place.
Yeah.
That's kind of like mooted, because I guess Emily's like, you know what? I'm staying here because Satan's just being too much of a dick, which is fair. So then Satan himself goes into crisis because he's like, oh no, Mike is too strong. What am I gonna do? Turns out what he's going to do is get drunk in a dark alley with a cartoon homeless person. Before being approached by the character whose name is still the Black Dude.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Who showed up previously to warn Satan about going to the castle for the confrontation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now shows up again. With beautiful women on his arms that he casually tosses aside and decides to train Satan because apparently he can tell Satan has feelings for Emily. I don't buy. Mike says the same thing about Emily, that she has feelings for Satan, which again, I don't buy.
They don't seem...
They don't even seem to like each other.
No.
Or tolerate each other's presence.
No. So.
So unless they're both like, you know, 9 years old and this is like an icky girls thing.
And you know, if you're keeping score at home, mark this up on the board, I've made this joke before. It's a normal straight relationship.
Seriously though, like there is negative chemistry there, but apparently the black guy can see that that Satan has the rage in him, which means that he has the potential to perform a move, and I wrote this down, called the big fucking beam. Alex, you want to tell us the legend of the big fucking beam?
Sure. There's a guy in like rural fucking Asia somewhere, nondescript.
Yeah.
And his name is D.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was the strongest fighter ever. And still potentially is, because they mention it afterwards, like, oh, he doesn't train people anymore. Not like, oh, he's not around.
So he's still around. We might meet him in future.
And he's like, oh, he was super strong, and that meant he got tons of women.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then apparently the big fucking beam was invented because his mum made the wrong food. tuna salad instead of chicken.
She served him tuna, apparently tuna, straight from the tin.
Instead of chicken parmesan like he wanted. Yeah. And then he did big fucking beam and assumedly, like, exploded his house.
We don't know. We just see him yell big fucking beam.
Yeah.
We don't know what it does. I mean, we can guess from the name, but
it shoots a really big fucking beam.
A really big fucking beam?
A really fucking big beam.
A big fucking beam, huh?
Big fucking beam.
A big fucking beam. Wow. Mm. Well, obviously that's worth training for.
Yeah, definitely. I would.
Yeah, and also it's also a great way to get over your stupid girl troubles.
I don't need women if I can shoot lasers out of my face.
I mean, that is how Goku lives.
That is also how Cyclops lives.
Okay, those aren't technically lasers. Technically,
You'll see. Shut up.
It's pure, like, force energy from another dimension.
Shut up.
His brother, Havok, can also manifest it, but in a different way.
All right.
Anyway, Cyclops still generally sucks. So. And then we're back with Eric and the guys. We get this beautiful zoom in.
Yeah. Oh, wow. On. Yeah.
Eric playing the guitar and singing a gentle song about how you're fat and ugly and you'll never get a girlfriend.
I love that. You know what? Okay, yeah.
And then
the song,
just throws the guitar away.
The song is great. What really? This is entirely my problem. It's not an issue. It's a complete non-issue. There's nothing.
Right.
What? But why does his acoustic guitar sound like an electric guitar? It doesn't fucking matter. Like, it's the correct kind of correct instrument. But the acoustic guitar doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fair. No, you're right.
I'm
you're
sorry.
Right. You're right and you
it
should
doesn't
say
it. Sound like that. Just doesn't.
That is the one problem with this entire
thing. That is the one problem. Yeah, that's the only problem. Not the character called the black guy.
And the
misogyny. That's the problem. The guitar sound.
Well, I mean, we don't know if anyone else just irrationally hates Emily.
Oh, and the Asian stereotype as
yeah,
well.
So, okay, so we should mention this. There are a couple of nothing scenes, which might pay off later, but there are a couple of nothing scenes where Eric and the gang suddenly have a new roommate who is drawn and voiced as some kind of Asian stereotype.
Yeah.
He is rude and brash and shrill and annoying and demands an egg salad sandwich at one point.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Like, it's basically dead air. And it's a shame because the rest of this is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And also because, like, this guy doesn't do anything. He just kind of shows up and the joke is that he's there now and he's a jerk.
Like, so funny.
Like, come on. You've already got so many jerks in the cast.
Why did they have to make him Asian?
I don't know.
Why did they have to do that?
Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of amazing character archetypes, so Eric and Bob come across their friend God, who is just squatting in the middle of the pavement, burning a sock.
Yes.
And this, to Eric, is a beautiful thing.
Best thing he's ever seen.
Yeah. To which Bob says, try seeing, wait till you see a naked girl. It's like, damn. And then we cut to a silhouette. I mean, like, and like immediately my brain is, wait, is this going to be a naked girl? Because I've been blind, right?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sets it up, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh,
it's not.
We go. No.
It's a police officer, except now.
Hang on, everyone. Hold on.
Fucking hold on to your sides before they split and you unravel like a
sinky. If you have a table or a chair, if you're sitting on a chair or have a table, hang on to it.
Yeah, hang on to it. Yeah, strap in.
Yeah.
Because this policeman
Oof.
Is gay.
Oh! Oh!
And he's gay in like a, he's gay in the way that like the South Park guys would look at this and say, yeah, it's a bit one note.
As we he's say,
a lispy, floppy, mincing queen who gives like vaguely predatory vibes.
It's a little on the nose. Maybe.
It's on the entire face.
Just a tiny smidge on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a cop, right?
Right.
But I don't think that's the perspective that this is approaching from in terms of the comedy.
Listen, diversity win. Cop that's macing you right now is gay.
Oh, thank goodness.
Damn.
He's gonna go home and tell his husband about the people he attacked.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and isn't that
yeah.
the future we really...
Anyway, this sucks.
Yeah.
The joke isn't funny, and the punchline is they just run, and that's it. So like,
yeah.
great, you just wasted us a minute and a half after a really good scene of burning us off.
Yeah, that was cool. They should have just cut it there. I'd have been cool with that. Like, just the scene of them, like, huddled around a burning sock. That would have been good.
Like the average episode, the average episode of Eric the Juice Man, and I think we can make this judgment at this point. We've seen, like, a good six episodes, right?
Yeah.
Eric the Juice Man does not flow plot-wise like you would expect.
No.
There's no rising action. There's no denouement. It is a weird, jagged seismograph of highs and lows and midpoints.
Yeah.
Much like life, really. Eric the Juice Man represents the best and worst that humanity has to offer.
Maybe that's why it speaks to us so much.
I mean, it really does, because even with the bits that really suck, I fucking love this.
It's so good. It's so good. I can't get enough. I can't stop watching.
I know, because now we get the training montage where the black dude is training Satan. But it's a training montage. So, like, okay, in the first one, like, the black guy's on a bike. And then, and Satan is, like, lifting weights. And then Satan is, like, climbing a mountain, and the black dude is still on a bike. It's the same bike. He's just on a bike in every shot. It's beautiful.
It's great.
Yeah.
The fucking visual comedy is just peak.
It's great. Like the scene where they run from the cop just ends with, like, this hold on a shot of Bob having stepped in dog shit.
It's
not even addressed. It's just there. It's just a thing that Bob did. And you know what? Good on you, Bob. You're doing your best.
It truly doesn't get better than this. It just doesn't.
Oh, I wish there was Eric the Juice Man merch. Cause,
God.
I would be in a t-shirt immediately.
I would I think fucking neon green is a fucking horrible color. But by God, would I wear that hat. Holy shit.
Okay, so we got to finish the plot synopsis, because, like, there's a lot happens.
Okay,
so,
all right.
We get the training montage with a voiceover talking announcer guy, a narrator, who starts talking about how miserable he is with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Okay, sure, right.
Okay,
And then, time skip. 1 year later, Satan is finally ready. Ooh.
Ooh.
Meanwhile, at the castle, no one really cares. They're just like the fat guy and Big Mules are playing chess. The fat guy is winning.
Yeah.
Emily is just kind of there as, like, I guess their roommate now. They're just having like a vague sitcom shenanigans. I don't know. They're just hanging out, right?
Yeah.
It is clear that they have completely forgotten the events of the previous year, right?
Yeah.
And then we get a kind of beautiful scene where... As the woman with, like, the music experience, I think you should talk about this next scene, because it's really something.
It's just out of absolutely fucking nowhere. Mike is at a grand piano,
mm-hmm.
and Do you know the piece? Because I don't. Do you know what it is?
I don't know.
Well, what he's just playing this beautiful piece on a grand piano, and the fucking cinematography is like incredible.
Yeah,
and the animation like is way smoother than it is in like literally the previous 5 episodes and everything leading up to that in episode 6.
It's so much.
It's inexplicable, and it's fucking so well done, and the piano like sounds really good, and like it's just this fucking dude with his fucking red hair.
And this big spiky anime hair.
Anime dude just fucking playing the piano like it's his solo at the concerto.
It's
like,
so good.
I just...
And then the castle explodes. The door is gone because finally Satan is here to take his revenge. And Mike is like, dude, what are you talking about?
It's great.
No one cares about this except Satan.
Yeah, it's literally... And then, like, Mike says, like, the fucking hardest line you've ever fucking said. He's like...
Today, Satan, I will challenge your heart.
That's it. I will challenge your heart. And it's like, where does Eric the Juice Man get off being so fucking... just suddenly so poetically written?
When we were watching it, both of us went... ooh, at the same time. Like... it's great. And then Satan's like, fine, I will accept your challenge. Rushes forward, grabs Mike by the face, and pile drives his head through the walls all the way to the other side of the castle and dumps him on the grass. It is legit one of the coolest things we've ever covered for this show.
It's so good.
It's and then it's like to be continued next time in part 7 when we get to it.
Yeah,
clearly the fight is on, right?
It's so good.
I love it. I love it. I love it so much. This is so we've talked in previous episodes, like we've compared it to everything from like, you know, Dragon Ball to the Young Ones to like G.G. Allen, right? But like this has found a real unique voice.
Yeah.
I think.
It's just got such a strong identity. It's just its own thing, and it doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's no surprise that Gobblatula is a big fan of Chainsaw Man nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that much.
Yeah, I really still need to watch Chainsaw Man. It's
yes,
on the
you
list.
Should. You should read and watch Chainsaw Man. They're
too
both
busy
very good.
Watching Bocchi the Rock and having feelings.
Oh, boyfriend and I have been watching Bocchi. We're halfway through. It's so good.
It's so good. So
it's
good.
So good.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Chainsaw Man, very good. But like, I am not surprised because Chainsaw Man also has this blend of just like... slice of life, mundane silliness, and kind of adolescent comedy.
Okay.
Paired with increasingly ridiculous violence.
Okay. I need to watch it immediately. You're drawing a direct comparison between...
Okay, I will say that Chainsaw Man doesn't have Kaiokens set to... The Hollow by A Perfect Circle. That was
fun. That's fine. Yeah. I think I can manage.
Like, there's no Elton John in Chainsaw Man. But like...
Maybe there should be.
Maybe. Hey, who knows? You know, season two is in development. We'll find out.
Come on, Elton. You'll broaden your horizons.
Back to Eric the Juice Man. Is there anything we've missed? There's so much, right?
It's a lot. Like, there's so much, and it's a lot.
There are so many great quotations, like right near the start when the new terrible roommate shows up, Eric just says, "I hate this place with the burning passion of immeasurable hatred."
It's such a fucking like 15-year-old writing in a journal thing to say. Yeah. I fucking love it.
Yeah. Ooh, there is one thing we haven't mentioned, which is my favorite cutaway joke, even though it's kind of a mean one, right? So when the black dude is... Oh, by the way, almost all of the conversations between Satan and the black dude, before and after his training, happen in the same alleyway.
Yeah.
So, after talking about the legend of the big fucking beam, which, need I remind us, is a big fucking beam.
Yeah, it's a really big fucking beam.
It's a big fucking beam. And and the black dude says, even that guy up there in the apartment wants this. And it cuts to an apartment window, and you're looking through, and it's just, it's this fat black guy. Like, dancing and singing while shaving his face.
And he's singing about how he's shaving his face
Is, I mean, like, the punchline is clearly, huh, look, it's a fat black guy and he's singing and he's jolly. But honestly, it's just a really nice little character thing. Like, I want to see his action series.
Maybe a show about that guy.
Yeah. Like, he's great. I like him. More of him.
More of that guy. Come on.
Like as a fat guy who shaves myself, like I felt really
seen. Yeah. It's good to have representation.
I like that right at the end. So Mike is no longer wearing his like punk jacket with all the spikes on it at the end.
Yeah.
He's just in like a black long sleeve. But then after Satan's assault on his face, finally, Mike takes off the long sleeve and he's got a white vest, and you know it's going to go down
because
no one in like a white tank top is unready to throw down.
This is very true. My partner wears a white tank top a lot.
And she's basically a monstrous thug from what I've heard.
She would fight.
She's got a body count.
Yeah. We don't talk about my partner's body count on the podcast, Tom.
In Minecraft. Is there anything left to say about these two episodes of Eric the Juice Man?
It's a truly beautiful work of art, and I mean that 100%. I know people are listening to this and being like, oh, is this just doing a bit, they're just like over exaggerating because it's funny, and like, yes. But also,
we started that way.
But also, I genuinely fucking mean this when I say I fucking love this to pieces.
Mm.
It's so good, and it's such a perfect encapsulation of the time period as well.
There's just so
much to like. It's so good.
I think you've said everything I was gonna say. Yeah. So let's learn a little bit about Eric in the modern context, because I think it's time for a minor flash. So we've talked extensively about Gobalachula, the creator, who nowadays just goes by Gob, or I think it's just Gob. When these two cartoons launched, episode 5 got daily third place, episode 6 not so much, despite being much better. I don't know. But so unfortunately, by this point, the views on Newgrounds are really dropping off. Like 36k for episode 5, only 28.5k for episode 6, which I think is a shame. Clearly the zeitgeist had moved on by this point. However, almost impossible to find bad reviews of this stuff.
I noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the people that it did reach, like us, really like this. So, as discussed previously, Eric the Juice Man is, of course, based on a webcomic by its creator. As of 2021, a new chapter was posted. This is written by Gob, but with art by Gob's wife, Grail. And the two of them collaborate on a lot of other comic and art projects together, which is pretty cool. They're both very active on Twitter. The pinned tweet on Grail's Twitter, which is at GrailyToast, is a Berserk fan comic they both made. Ooh. Where Guts and Casca go on a food tour.
Oh, that sounds good.
And from the little I've read, knowing almost nothing about Berserk, it's adorable.
Aw, that's nice.
There is also the ongoing comic Please Forgive Me, which is a collaboration between the two of them and Joseph Schwem. Mm. Gob is still a prolific comic writer and artist, though it seems more on the writing side nowadays. There's also the comic It Hurts, which finished its run back in 2017, but got to like almost 500 strips. Like,
wow.
Please Forgive Me is almost at its 400th, and these are not short strips. So, like, Gob is putting in the work, and so are his collaborators. And one thing that I did see in just searching for extra stuff is that Gob did mention that Eric has not canonically had an ending yet.
And oh, my God.
As of November 2021, it is still to be concluded. So, hopefully we get to see Eric the Juice Man finish. Will the Dark Castle saga be the last saga? I don't know.
Don't do this to me, Tom.
I'm just saying.
Don't do this.
The comic
to me.
Is out there. There are currently 299 chapters.
Jesus. Fuck. Alright, sure.
And like with the animation, the artwork and the writing have steadily increased as the creators have grown up with it.
Okay.
The character designs are still exactly the same.
Oh, fantastic. That makes me very happy.
The cast of Eric the Juice Man are still Eric, Bob, God, Satan, Emily, Mike, Big Mules, the Black Guy, Jamie, Megan. It's a delight. It's really good. I'm so glad that Eric the Juice Man is a world that we get to explore together and with all of our lovely Flash Guitars. Because,
yeah.
Like, it just makes me smile all the time. One last thing is the final things that Gobalatula has recently posted on YouTube are a couple of mashups he made of songs by Beach House.
Okay.
Which are very chill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so clearly working in a lot of different media.
It just be like that sometimes.
It does, but like, yeah. It seems to be doing well.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. So, that's Eric the Juice Man. I think we have time for a few comments to finish us off.
Yeah.
So, I have a few comments from episode 5, which I'm going to ask if you can start with.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Tuguina?
I think so.
I'm going to go with that. Tuguina. May 28th, 2009. 5 out of 5. Big Mules rules, XD. Big Mules is so fucking funny. This is spelled F-U-K-I-N-G, no C.
So fucking funny.
When Big Mules gets punched in the pre-vet area, I laugh so much. He rules, baby. XD.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And that's a comment from 2009. So 6 years after this got posted, after episode 5 was posted, Tuguina, I don't know, came back to really voice some support for Big Mules getting punched in the privet area. The next comment we have is from November, the day this was uploaded, on November 5th. It's by Akira Toriyama Jr.
Whoa! Holy shit.
I think that's just a username.
Ah, fuck.
Who said...
I can dream.
Underrated! 8 exclamation marks. What the... You know what? John, this had to have some of the best voice actors I heard on this site. This was amazing and very different. I love your angles and all close-ups. Your walk scene and you characters. When you see people on here make characters curse, it looks and sounds stupid, because they don't have the right face expressions. This was like a convo me and my friends have, lol. Amazing! And also fucking underrated. You guys truly suck now.
What?
To which,
wait.
To which Gobblechula responded, saying, I really appreciate you guys giving me great reviews like this one. This is the highest score I've got on Newgrounds before. Thanks a whole hell of a lot.
So, they know each other?
I think it's you guys as in just, like, the fans.
Oh, right, okay.
Or maybe it's Akira Toriyama and Sun. So, you want to hit the last comment for episode 5?
Guckpunk22?
Guckpunk.
Okay. November 6th, 2003, 4 out of 5. He said, sexy as hell. Ooh. Man, that was great dumb girls fighting and punk rock, man. That was amazing. Thank you so very much. Woot woot.
Woot woot.
Man, that, you must have a great time at punk rock shows.
Punctuation is important.
Yeah.
I've got a couple more. From episode 6. I'll take the first one.
Okay.
SSBB Lines in August 15th, 2009 gave it 5 out of 5 and said, holy shit, for a weird-ass tittle for the series. That doesn't mean anything. Seriously, man, you were a god when it comes to Flash. Piano, FTW. Burning shit, FTW. Gay cop, FTW. Badass fights, FTFW! Exclamation marks 1111111 the word 1111. So even in 2009, that's just how you have to type.
That is how you have to type.
Yeah, for the win.
We hadn't graduated yet. We were getting there.
And you want to take the last one?
Yes. And finally, from MARCUS, that spells Marcus. August 31st, 2004, 4 out of 5, they said, haha, awesome. Why would you eat something that may cause anal bleeding? Ha 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 ha, oh, that was just the icing on the cake, dude. What an amazing movie, pretty much everything about it was absolutely great. The graphics and animation were excellent. All characters were drawn and animated very well. There were some really nice drawings in the movie. The swimming pool, for example. What? Okay. I don't even remember a swimming pool. And most of the animation was stunning. When the punk gets up from the grass, for example. Yeah, agreed. Also, the sound in the movie was excellent. There are a couple few cool sound effects in the movie, along with heaps of excellent tracks of music. And the voices were excellent. Whoa! Was that voice acting good or what? Lol. I loved the black guy's voice. That was just some really funny SHI'T. Wait, what? He censored it wrong. He spelled the word and just added an apostrophe.
Some really funny schist?
Sure.
Shite? Is this a reference to the opening line of Per Ubu by Alfred Jarry?
I don't think so, Tom. I think you're the only person here who knows what that is.
Okay, fine.
it was gonna be shite. The apostrophe would be, you know what, it doesn't matter. And to top it all off, the plot of the movie was really good. All the way through the movie, it was damn funny. And it wasn't really one of those weird-ass movies that makes no sense. That's S-E-N-C-E. At all. A very nice plot. But I am unhappy to see that it is to be continued. GD it. Haha. Well, an excellent movie, mate. I really can't wait for episode 7. Overall score. Out of 8 out of 10. The thumb up.
The thumb up, the thumb indeed. Up
indeed, Marcus. Indeed.
So that is going to bring us to the end of our show, and there's just time for a few lovely Fleshketeer emails. Last time, in honor of Kegel,
oh no. Oh dear. Okay.
We asked folks to email in and tell us about the ugliest cartoon animals. So I'm gonna stream this actually, okay. So Alex all can right. see the images that we've been sent.
Oh no, there are images.
So this first email comes in from Guts, who says, "Alex, Tom, let's talk about Food Fight. You lucky so-and-sos.
Oh.
There are a ton of cartoon animals in this film, if I'm to use the term loosely, and basically any of them that aren't an established brand mascot in real life are some of the most grotesque sons." There's a character turn. Are some of the most grotesque sons of bitches I've ever seen. There is the squirrel voiced by Wayne Brady with bulging cheeks that make him look diseased. A weasel with, I guess, zero bones that may or may not be made entirely out of shit. A frog king with realistic human teeth.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I can't tell if the person who designed this vampire bat hates Jewish people or Italians or both. And there's so many other poor bastards in the background I can't even get to. And a lot of the human characters look worse than the animals. I don't know how. Anyway, as a bonus, I've also included a photo of an ill-conceived piece of merchandise of the Wayne Brady squirrel. You asked for it, Guts.
Oh,
and yeah, all of these pictures are bad. All of these are so bad. Food Fight was a mistake.
I still haven't seen it.
Have you not? I've seen it literally a dozen times.
It was one of those things where I was like, I'll get around to watching it eventually, and then I just never managed to see it. I'm sure it's not too hard to get hold of.
I would love to watch Food Fight with you. I own it on DVD.
You, of course you fucking do.
thank you, Guts. Great Joe emailed in to say, hello there. I feel like you have to be really trying to draw an animal and have it be gross. Or Hirohiko Araki. So I've got to nominate Iggy, the flatulent pug who really hates being there, wherever there is. Oh, and also Lenore Street Bridge from CGI Pals. If you know, you know. I don't know.
I don't know. Do you want to find out together?
Somebody please enlighten us. Your frenemy, Great Joe. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
We did get three different people reply saying Foamy, which really? Is completely accurate, I think. Foamy is a weird bug-eyed little creep. Although I think the ugliness of Foamy the squirrel is in his personality, first and foremost.
Yeah.
We also have this one from Great SG, if you would like to take it.
Yes. When I hear the words ugliest cartoon animals, what immediately comes to mind for me is Bill the Cat from Barkley Breathed's comic strip Bloom County.
Bloom County, yes. This is Bill the
Cat.
Please describe to the lovely Flash Contains.
Oh, it's
home.
Fucking horrible. Oh.
So this is your first time seeing Bill the Cat, right?
Maybe I've seen this before. I have seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think every time I see this, I have the same reaction. I'm like, ugh.
Okay.
It's like a fucked up Bubsy.
Please talk us through the picture that we've been sent.
Okay. So basically, you got your standard, like, anthropomorphic orange cat, kind of. Mm-hmm.
Classic.
But the cat is, the mouth is like this horrible gaping sideways maw.
Yeah.
And it's like pulled its tongue out about, like 3 meters.
Mm hmm.
In front of it itself, and it's playing its tongue like it's an instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sound effects are going bong, 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 twang.
Yeah. It's horrible to look at.
The cat also appears to have an ass for a face.
Yeah, it's got the I don't know what it's called. It's the bit with the where the whiskers are. You know, the round bit, the cheeks, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. Actually, you know what this cat looks like if Garfield and Odie got trapped in the chamber from the fly?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is anyway, a horrible abomination, so.
It's horrible, yeah. Bill the cat is very bad to look
at. Don't like that.
And finally, Alex. Alex, has written in to say, not sure if this counts as ugliest or most horrifying, but it will make me lose sleep either way.
Okay.
And so it's a plane, but with like a human face and like a muzzle and tongue. And it's like animated in like really high frame rate.
No.
And it looks horrible.
No.
It's Swedish, I think. It's from something called Bilakuten, with a bunch of vehicles. It's basically like what if cars, but they're all terrifying.
You say it was Swedish?
I think it's Swedish.
Nej, Elvete for fan, nej. Nej. Don't show that to me anymore.
So, thanks, Alex. I think that's a great place. to leave it. Thank you all for your lovely emails, Flashketeers. We always love hearing from you. We always love your responses to our prompts and also your various suggestions for stuff to cover in the future. Next episode is going to be a special one because it's going to be our 5th anniversary.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It's going to be our 5th anniversary. And quite simply, if you choose to accept it, Flashketeers, your mission is to email in, tell us your favorite stuff from the last 5 years
Whoa.
That we've done or that we've covered. You know?
Yeah.
Take us back to our past.
Yes.
And, yeah, remind us of some cool stuff we did, because I guarantee we don't remember most of it at this point.
It's been a lot of episodes. 5 fucking years. Holy
Five
shit.
5 years.
Yeah. Again, I repeat this that I said last episode, but I'm sure we started this podcast, like, last month.
I mean,
and somehow it's been
5 years. The
audio
and writing quality would seem to hint at that, but no, we've been plugging along. You know what? I don't mean that. I think we have got pretty good at this. But 5 years, 2018. Yeah. So
fuck.
If you have any memories you'd like to share from that half decade of our podcast, then please
don't say it like that. God, Jesus.
Great Uncle Tom and Grandma Alex will be here to take your emails, and then we'll give you a little peppermint candy.
Yeah. Can you pass Grandma her pills?
Grandma's sorted for ease tonight. Okay. and of course, if there's anything else you'd like to tell us about, then please do email in flashinthepancast@gmail.com. Suggestions, comments, love mail, hate mail. Hey, tell us about you. What have you been up to? What have you got planned for the year ahead? 2023 is shaping up to certainly be a year.
A year. Yeah. It's a numbered year.
Mm-hmm.
Or with a 3 on the end.
Anyway, we should end the podcast here.
Yeah.
Thank you again to all of our Flashketeers for emailing in. Thank you as well to you for listening. Like, oh my goodness, thank you. If you like what you've heard, if you like what we're doing, if you dig what we're laying down, man, then we can transport you back from the 70s, apparently. And we can implore you to please share us with your friends. Like, just send them a link if you think someone's gonna like it, you know? Just like, hey, check out these weird nerds. They do a cool podcast you might dig.
Mm.
And hey, that's the best way to grow our fan base, to grow the number of cool Flashketeers. If you would like to support us with more than just words and goodwill, if you'd like to do that with actual human money, you can do that on Patreon. patreon.com/flashinthepan. You can join for just a couple of quid, right? You know, it's like 350 Canadian, and you get early access to episodes. A little bit more, and you can join our lovely chill Discord community. And if you are feeling like a total freak, you can give us like hundreds of pounds to ensure our silence.
Yeah. Reminder, that's still an option. That's still an option.
Yeah. Yeah. You can also find both of us online. Alex.
Yes.
Where can people find you and your stuff?
You can find me online, begrudgingly, twitter.com/DEX01. And aside from that, cohost.org/DEX01. I said this last episode, but I really need to like use Cohost more. I like Cohost a lot. Cohost is really, really good, and every time I remember it and go on it, I have a good time. You can follow me there. And like for all the other stuff I do or have done, I've done a lot of music stuff in the past, and I've done a lot of like video game videos in the past too. If you're interested in hearing me talk more about games or hear me sing my silly little songs, then you can go to alexvalentine.card.co, and it's all there. Everything's there.
Super duper. You can also find me on Twitter, for what it's worth, at Gertrude PRKNS, Gertrude Perkins. You can probably find me on Cohost. I haven't posted anything, so I'm not going to share it yet, but once I start posting and not just looking, then whatever.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you can also find Flash in the Pan on Twitter, though it's better if you just follow the Patreon, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you can follow us without being a subscriber. You just get, like, email updates.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Twitter is at FlashITPancast. That's Flash at Pancast. Our website, as always, flashinthepancast.com. That's where you can find links to all the cartoons we've talked about, all of our previous cartoons, a master list of everything we've ever covered. It's a lot. If you want to have a proper Flash in the Parathon, which is what I'm going to call listening to every episode in order, because I am a hack, then you can do that there. Wow, how exciting. If you like us, like I said, we've got Patreon. Also, like, rate us, review us on your podcatcher of choice. That helps the algorithm notice us, and it helps recommend us to new people who can come and join the Flashketeer party. Isn't that nice?
It is nice. That's
correct. It is nice, and you should do it. Also nice is a lovely lady called Alicia E. Goranson, who has been our web host for a very long time, and she provides lovely hosting as well as general cool stuff that she has written and recorded at alicia-goranson.com. I believe that's everything. We finally made it.
That's it.
Yeah, so until next time, hey, thank you for listening. I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And today, Satan, I will challenge your heart.
Have a great Flash.